We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
No sports, no rock, no information for mindless chatter. We're your station.
Stand by for news.
News on the mark.
Newsroom in New York.
You have tuned in turn on the news, the weekly newscast from the radio network, with all the radio coverage of the radio. Now with computerized news readers, with fewer meddling humans, and more aggregated reporting and automated music. Tune in turn on the news each week for the latest news, radio art, and more from our robot reporters, making sure you hear both sides, good and evil, every time you turn on the news.
And then I just, there's good news. Good evening.
Donald Trump and his loyalists in the Republican Party are as laser-focused as they ever have been on subverting future elections to regain power, as they demonstrated yet again at another deranged rally in Arizona over the weekend. Republicans led by Trump are actively engaged in attempts to suppress votes and subvert future elections. It's now been over a year since Trump unleashed a violent mob on the Capitol, with rioters who waved, among other things, Confederate flags. And we know that not only did Trump sic that mob on the Capitol, he gleefully watched them on TV as they tried to overthrow democracy, and he refused to do anything about it, as even his closest allies privately pleaded with his chief of staff to put a stop to the riot. And yet Trump is still walking around, lumbering into arena rallies in that oversized coat and red hat like a mobster who has to umpire a Little League baseball game to fix the score. Strike three, you're out. But that was the first pitch.
Hey, kid, get lost, or the only thing you'll be sliding into is the East River.
Trump is still free somehow, despite multiple investigations into his business and political activity, including his attempt to shake down the Georgia Secretary of State to, quote, find enough votes for him to win. Now, I could cite any number of legal experts or constitutional scholars, but instead, I'd like to highlight an esteemed voice who I consider far more of an authority on these issues. That's right, Little Steven.
What kind of country do we live in where the guy's not charged?
We're living in an asylum, okay? We're living in an insane asylum right now. Okay, if you commit your crimes in broad daylight, then it's okay. I mean, I can make a case right now, you know, that we, you know, that this guy's guilty of treason 10 times over, but he's on videotape saying, go down, overthrow the government. The guy is a criminal, in a criminal empire. And the bigger his crimes, the more public they are, the more he gets away with it. And this is why Biden's approval rating is so low, okay? It's because America respects strength, you know? And they'll even take it from a phony buffoon, you know, blowhard like Trump, who's not strong, but he pretends to be strong. So they even go with that. We got the biggest criminal in the world running around playing golf. We can't even arrest him.
I love listening to political opinions in that accent. It makes me feel like I'm in a taxi cab begging the driver to keep his eyes on the road. I'm surprised he didn't end his rant with, near corner or far corner? It's also remarkable how Trump has driven everyone so insane they're becoming more and more like their fictional characters. Arnold Schwarzenegger brandished his Conan sword. De Niro's dropping F-bombs like he's in Goodfellas. And now little Steven's saying people respect strength like he's advising Tony on what to do about Uncle Junior. Next thing you know, Nick Cage is going to try to steal the actual Declaration of Independence. We have to protect it from Donald Trump! So Trump is still walking free despite what you would think is overwhelming evidence of his guilt, including the fact that he fomented a violent insurrection to overturn an election that resulted last week in seditious conspiracy charges against some of the key militia figures involved.
Just over a year after the January 6th insurrection, the feds are finally dishing out some serious consequences. An Oath Keeper leader and 10 others were charged with seditious conspiracy related to the Capitol attack.
The leader of the far-right extremist group, the Oath Keepers, is due to appear in federal court. Stuart Rhodes is one of 11 defendants who the Justice Department charged with sedition on Thursday for their involvement in the January 6th insurrection.
These are the most significant charges in the investigation so far.
Seditious conspiracy is no slap on the wrist. It's a charge of inciting a rebellion against the government that carries a maximum penalty of 20 years in prison. This is the most serious and sweeping case to emerge from the federal investigation into the Capitol riot. Finally, up until now, the most serious charge any of these guys have gotten is impersonating a Flintstone. The biggest name. Woo! The biggest name that the feds picked up today was leader of the Oath Keepers, Stuart Rhodes. The indictment alleges that Rhodes and his co-conspirators engaged in a conspiracy to oppose the lawful transfer of presidential power by force by preventing, hindering, or delaying by force execution of laws governing the transfer of power. Now, in their defense, the Oath Keepers claim that they converged on Washington just before January 6th as part of a security detail hired to protect conservative celebrities like Roger Stone. Get your story straight, Oath Keepers. Were you there to protect celebrities or Roger Stone? Besides, Roger Stone doesn't need a bunch of henchmen. It's not like he's some sort of cartoonish supervillain. Oh, there you go. Now, here's the thing. This isn't a charge they just yank out of the tank willy-nilly. You don't charge someone with sedition unless you've got them dead to rights, and it looks like they do, because in the lead-up to January 6th, Rhodes called on members of his group to stock up on ammo and prepare for a full-on war in the streets. And a war was there, and it's a war that they lost.
It's a sign of both how dangerous and how dumb our times are that one of the key violent groups involved in an attempted coup is called the Oath Keepers. It sounds like the name a group of 12-year-old amateur detectives would give themselves. We will solve the case of the unreturned library books, for we are the Oath Keepers. Oath Keepers sounds like a Yellow Jackets knockoff about a group of teen girls who have to keep a terrible secret, although I would definitely watch a show about a group of teen girls plus Donald Trump who had to keep a secret, because it would be only a half an episode before he gave it up. What happened to you in the woods?
We did what we had to do to survive. We ate Claire. We ate our friend Claire to stay alive. We did. We ate her. We could pretend we didn't, but we ate her. We ate her, and I do think it's what Claire would have wanted. Even though her last words were, I don't want this!
But as we've learned throughout the entirety of the Trump era, it's very possible to be both dumb and dangerous at the same time. The indictment from the Justice Department is full of both dangerous and also incredibly stupid details. For example, at one point, The accused Oath Keepers were caught discussing both bringing weapons with them to the Capitol and what uniforms they should wear. One said to another, pack khaki tan pants. Weapons are okay now as well. Sorry for the confusion. We're packing the car and heading your way shortly. And then another replied, we don't have any khakis. We have jeans. They're a violent militia group trying to overthrow democracy, and they sound like waiters getting ready for work. You can't wear jeans at the Olive Garden. But they're my nice dark jeans. Jeff, we've been through this. I thought when I was here, I was family. That slogan is for customers, Jeff. You know that.
This little nugget tells you all you need to know about the dum-dums who stormed the Capitol. On January 7th, the day after the riot, some of these nuts started calling, of all people, Nancy Pelosi's office to see if she could help them find stuff they left behind while ransacking it. This is true. According to Congressman Jamie Raskin of Maryland, some of the rioters called the Capitol office to ask whether there was a lost and found because they forgot their phone there or left their purse or what have you. So Raskin says law enforcement officers got on the phone, they called them, they took down their names, addresses, social security numbers, et cetera, and then use that information to find and arrest them, which is wonderful and interesting. And in fact, very interesting. And I wanted to find out more, so we asked the director of the Lost and Found Department at the Capitol to video chat, and she very graciously said yes, and she's with us now. Please welcome Samantha Sonig. Hello, thank you for speaking with us, Ms. Sonig.
Thank you so much for having me, Jimmy.
So after the insurrection, items were left behind.
That's correct, yeah.
And have they all been claimed?
No, most of them have not actually been claimed.
So do you have a list of all the unclaimed stuff from that time?
Actually, we have the items themselves here in person.
Oh, great. Mm-hmm. Now, can we see those?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, great. Excellent.
Okay. First off, we have a lot of cargo shorts. Like, so many cargo shorts. And this one had a Jimmy Dean's breakfast sausage in the cargo shorts.
Yeah, all right.
I'm going to get hungry later. We also have about 4 dozen pairs of Oakley sunglasses.
Wow. Are they all Oakley sunglasses?
They're all Oakleys.
Why do you think they're all Oakley sunglasses?
I think that Oakley sunglasses make a statement, you know? And that statement is, I'm the coach of this T-ball team, and if my son strikes out, I will spit in an umpire's face, you know?
Okay. All right. What else you got in the box?
And we have this fur hat, which is kind of cool. I think it's made out of buffalo, which is awesome. Look, I'm Jamiroquai.
Yeah. I think those, Samantha, I think those might be underpants you have on your head.
Oh. Oh, God. Yeah. No, you're right. They're underpants. So silly.
Yeah. Gross. God. That's pretty gross. All right.
They're still a little wet.
Yeah.
Let's see what else. We've got a bunch of stuff. We have, like, these truck nuts.
Uh-huh.
We have this Monster energy drink that's turned into a PCP pipe. We have, oh, God, this is something. We have Confederate flag Jesus.
Okay, yeah. Great.
And, oh, for all you history buffs out there, we have an arrest warrant for Mr. Michael Pence.
Well, you know, that's not how you spell arrest or warrant or Pence, actually, either.
Okay, well, it's the thought that counts.
Yes, true.
You know? All right, what else did these leave in here?
Uh-huh.
Let's see. We have a Bill Gates voodoo doll.
Uh-huh.
We have this Bass Pro Shop thong for the ladies out there.
Uh-huh.
That's
yeah.
kind of fun. Yeah. We have a wallet chain with a wallet.
Uh-huh.
A Jimmy Buffett belt buckle. And we have this picture that says, I heart granddaughter, with a picture of
That looks like you. And in fact, it's wearing the same thing you were wearing.
Why?
Even has a microphone on, as far as I can tell.
Can you just give me a second? Just 1 second.
Yeah.
I just have to make a phone call.
Okay.
Everything
all right?
Hi, Mama. Hi, it's Samantha. Uh-huh. Yeah, no, I'm good. Listen, what were you doing on January 6th last year? Mama, no, I'm not with Nancy Pelosi. You cannot use the C word, Mama.
And at another point, these morons came up with what they thought was a foolproof plan for escaping law enforcement. According to the indictment, one sent an email to another, and attached to the email was a photograph that showed cursive handwriting on a lined notepad that stated, secure comms test, good talk tonight, guys. And they explained the cursive writing by adding messages in cursive to eliminate digital reads. Oh my God, you absolute dip. It doesn't matter if it's in cursive, you're attaching it to an email. It's like disguising your voice during a bank robbery while you stare directly into the security camera.
Listen to my voice. You have 3 hours to meet our... Oh, is that a camera? Did you guys know the bank had a camera? It actually does matter, Jeff.
Did you genuinely think that attaching a message in cursive meant it was somehow secure? Is that how you think the U.S. military communicates? By passing handwritten notes like teenagers in math class? Psst, psst, I have a message from the Joint Chiefs of Staff to SEAL Team 6. He says, I think you're cool. Do you want to raid a compound later? For some reason, these insurrectionist morons have the idea that writing things on paper makes them extra top secret. For example, at Trump's rally over the weekend, MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell claimed he had invented a new form of paper for future elections that was somehow even more secure than the paper we have now.
We have a replacement for the machine. As a matter of fact, tomorrow we're going to film it. The replacement, it's paper, but it's paper on steroids. It's the most awesome paper you've ever seen. You can't copy it, okay? It's better than money.
What is paper on steroids?
It's paper, but you don't need a pen to write on it. You can just use your finger, and it responds to touch, and you can transmit it to a secure central processing server. Oh, it's a computer. I accidentally invented a computer. Oh, this is more embarrassing than when I thought I invented the pillow.
The coup attempt Trump and his gang of authoritarian dopes started shortly after the November 2020 election is ongoing. It's just a slow-moving coup now, and they're trying to pull it off without too many people noticing, which is why we have to pass urgently needed voting and election reforms and hold the people who staged the insurrection responsible. Otherwise, they'll do it again. They'll try to overthrow democracy and shred the Constitution, which, as the founders themselves put it, is...
the most awesome paper you've ever seen.
This is starting to restore... Feels good. Starting to restore my faith in the Justice Department. Finally, they're charging people with the sedition we saw with our own eyes on live TV. And hopefully, one day, the feds will learn the identity of that shadowy figure who was the president who told them to do it.
America, afraid of Americans. I'm afraid of the world. I'm afraid I can't help it. I'm afraid I can't. I'm afraid of Americans. I'm afraid of the world. I'm afraid I can't help it. I'm afraid I can't. Yeah, I'm afraid of America. I'm afraid of the world.
Donald Trump's back on the road. He was in Florence, Arizona this weekend for his first rally in quite a while. He ran it for an hour and 35 minutes. Maybe it's me, but the material doesn't. It's not just not working. It's kind of like watching the Sex and the City reboot. It needs more Samantha or something. I don't know. But thousands of people showed up because there's nothing to do in Florence, Arizona. And there's at these Trump rallies, there's a long list of items you're not allowed to bring. And this is the list. Here it is. You see alcohol, explosives, et cetera. That makes sense. But look at this. No appliances, i.e. toasters. Who's bringing the toaster to it? Well, when I go see Trump, I like to have English muffins. I don't know. It was quite a crowd. Before the show, a reporter from the Right Side Broadcasting Network, which is not broadcasting or a network, chatted up some of the attendees, including a gentleman who has an interesting theory about California Governor Gavin Newsom.
Well, Newsom's a clone, okay? They just took him out.
He's the puppet for the left.
He's a different level, you're right. But the real Governor Newsom has had his military tribunal in Gitmo, and he's been executed, okay?
Well, there you go. Thank you for your time.
I like that last move. There you go. Well, you know what? I'm not going to touch you. And then Fatty LaBelle himself took the stage to scream about being cheated out of the election and to lash out at all the networks who refused to go along with that.
They continue to refuse to talk about it. They say, while it is unsubstantiated and the big lie, The big lie is a lot of bullshit. That's what it is.
Yeah, that is exactly what it is. It is a lot of, yeah. I mean, he's somehow he went from big lie to big lie. And not only did Trump play the hits, he rolled out new stuff too, including a COVID conspiracy theory that is outlandish even by Donald Trump standards.
The left is now rationing life-saving therapeutics based on race, discriminating against and denigrating white people to determine who lives and who dies. If you're white, you don't get the vaccine, or if you're white, you don't get therapeutics. It's unbelievable to think this.
Yeah, it really is. It's super unbelievable to think that. But go on.
In fact, in New York State, if you're white, you have to go to the back of the line to get medical help. Think of it. If you're white, you go right to the back of the line.
Right. I know that happened to me. Yeah. Where does he even get this stuff? This is a man who hasn't waited in a line since, like, hot lunch in the fourth grade. White people are being sent to the back of the line? I guess Martin Luther King's dream has been realized at last.
Thanks this week for the songs from Husker Du, the Yellow Jackets TV show, and David Bowie. And thanks for the clips and excerpts from Seth Meyers, Little Steven, Stephen Colbert, Allison Camerota, Victor Blackwell, Jimmy Kimmel, Blair Erskine, Mike Lindell, and Donald Trump.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.